Welcome to the Breathe Fitness Podcast, hosted by Courtney Connors. Our pods are here to inspire you to reach optimal health and well-being through open discussions with world-class and hometown experts in the health and wellness community. Listen, learn, and explore the many ways to help you live, love, and breathe fitness. Hey guys, in this episode, I'm speaking with my friend and former coworker, Marcus Langford. He is a longtime bodybuilder competing in numerous natural bodybuilding shows. We chat about his passions, his goals, and the ultimate mindset when it comes to competing to win. Hope you enjoy. Hey, Marcus.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long time.
It has. It has been a long time, hasn't it?
It has. I've been back in New Jersey for 2 years, and I think you were gone, at least from results, about a year or two before that.
Left out of there in 2014, October 2014. I've been there for like 5 years.
Yeah. 4 years is about right.
Wow.
Crazy. It goes so
fast. How have you been?
I've been great. I've been really busy just trying to, you know, keep things rolling with my business and training and connecting with people and just kind of, you know, learning more, which is a lot about what this podcast is about. So I definitely want to start by saying thank you so much for doing this.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. You know, I'll use anytime I can. I'll try to use any platform I can to let people know a little bit about me and a little bit about this industry, you know, whatever else they want to know about.
I'm definitely excited to pick your brain a little bit and learn more about the behind the scenes, because I've definitely been following you since I've met you, and it's been pretty cool to just see you grow and compete and totally kick some ass out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to do something, you know. I've been at it for a very long time, and you know, as you'll probably find out throughout this interview, is that, you know, it's levels to it. You go through peaks and the valleys, and it's never a straight line in this industry, especially, you know, you're talking about using your body as a canvas, and being scrutinized for this. It's never a straight line. So
how about we start with when did fitness enter your life, and how old were you, and just kind of what piqued your interest?
All right, cool. Let me see. Fitness, or more specifically, the love for bodybuilding. I'll say that because I'm not, I never got into this thing necessarily for fitness per se. I was drawn to bodybuilding. I was drawn to muscles and just being able, as a kid, just being able to look at a human being and realize that there's kind of almost no limits to what you can do with your body over time, and, you know, with the proper tools and everything. I mean, it's not something that happens overnight. The fitness aspect of it came like years later, when you start to really get involved in it and you understand that it's more than just going to the gym. It's more to just, it's so many other factors that go into, you know, the fitness aspect of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I was into comic books. I drew comic books. I read them. And I was always, like, fascinated by, like, the superhero muscles. You know, like, the He-Mans and all of these guys, these cartoons that I saw on TV. So when I was, like, 15, I saw my first bodybuilding magazine. I was at a 7-Eleven. And I tell everybody this story. It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But it's 100% real. I was waiting for my father and my brother. He was getting a stereo system put in his car. And I was bored. I was 15. And I'm like, I don't have nothing to do with that. So I'm just going to walk over to the 7-Eleven. And I was looking for like a dirty magazine. I was looking for like Playboy or like some kind of filth to get into, you know, because I'm 15 and I'm just like, you know, let me go to this 7-Eleven and see what they got on the shelf, because hopefully somebody left something unpackaged and I can see what's going on. But that wasn't the case. So everything was like wrapped in plastic. So here I am sitting there like, damn, I came here for no reason. But for some reason, I like kind of looked over. I think I panned you know, I was looking through like all the magazines and I saw this Iron Man magazine and it had, I forgot who was on the cover, but it was a guy and it was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I picked the magazine up and I started like going through the pages and I was just at that moment incredibly drawn to, you know, what I saw. And the first thing I thought was like, yo, I want to look like that.
That's awesome. Know,
that's the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it was like, I want to look like these guys. And at that time, you know, magazines, you know, as you know now, because of, you know, the internet and everything like that, you don't really get magazines like you got back in like the mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So, the content in the mid 90s is a lot different than what it is today because everything is online. Everything is instant gratification. So if there's a show going on this weekend, you're going to see it online as it happens. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of the internet and technology now.
Right.
But at that time as a kid, these magazines were the only window I had to seeing like with these guys then. And that's when I was reading and I was like, oh, the terminology is bodybuilding. I never knew that beforehand. You know,
mm-hmm.
When you saw like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Conan, or playing Conan, and you saw like Lou Ferrigno playing the Hulk, you never associated bodybuilding. You just saw big guys, you know, with muscles swinging a sword or turning green and destroying everything. It's just, you never drew, the parallels between bodybuilding, fitness and who was attached to it.
Right. Yeah. You kind of see that and you don't think, you know, when you're younger, you don't think, how did they get that way immediately? You just kind of see the image first.
You never think about it. And then you, as a kid, you're just like, that's what I want to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I bought, ended up buying a magazine and, you know, I took it to my dad and I was like, yo, well, I didn't say yo, but, and I was like, dad, look at what's, you know, look at these guys in the magazine. So my father, you know, he worked at a power plant. He knew some guys that were into like weightlifting. My father never directly said bodybuilding. He was like, oh yeah, the guys from the plant, they work out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But my father actually did knew some guys that were into bodybuilding and weightlifting and everything like that. So he was, the only thing he told me at the time, he was like, man, you gotta eat it. You gotta eat a whole lot of like that. That's the only thing my father ever said as it related to, you know, getting, you know, bigger muscles and everything like that. So, basically from that time on is, you know, when I started to read a little more about bodybuilding, I think I talked my mom into getting me a magazine subscription. No, I talked my mom into using her Fingerhut account to get me this weight. So she did that. So I had like this little barbell set in my room and I used to work out. I would do curls like all the time because it was like, you know, curls for the girls. You want to go ahead and just,
yeah.
You know, it was nothing else. It was just curls and doing push-ups. And so then I went back to school that following year. I had like my little muscles going on, you know, and everything. Like maybe my junior, I started to grow a bit, but then again, what's important for people to know about this is that I was not the average kid that was like, I just want big arms and a big chest. Like I was looking at the totality of the physique, even as a kid, I was like, you know, I want the whole body, you know, I want the legs, I want the abs, I want the back, I want the shoulders. So here I am, 16 years old, putting, you know, whatever little money I had that I got when I was working, I was buying like weight gainers and like these, you know, Joe Reeder tapes on working out. And, you know, it was fascinating to me at the time, you know, and it still is, of course, 20 something years later. It's
right.
It still blows my mind.
20 years later, where do you draw your passion for now? Is it kind of the same? Is it new goals?
Pretty much the same thing, you know, like every time it's the same thing. It's just having a, you know, better body than I did the last time. So, you know, maybe a year ago, I want a better body this year better than the one I had last year. You know?
Right. Do you remember what it was like the first time you stepped into the gym or what that experience was like?
Yeah, it was, I was, again, a teenager. The first time I went to was like this local hole-in-the-wall gym in town that was owned by this Italian guy named Vinny. He owned a pizzeria. And behind this pizzeria, he had like this little gym that had like, you know, it was a no-frills place. You know, it was dusty, funky, dirty. But it had like the basic equipment that you could train on. So I would go to his place, like after school or before work. Cause I worked at a country club that was like right around the corner from the gym. So I would go there. I would work out, a little bit. And I remember it was like three big guys in the gym. It was a guy, Tim Holmes, who I still talk to today. Another guy named Doug. Now, Doug was actually a competitor, but he was never really there a lot in the gym, but he was mentored by Vinny, who owned the gym. So every now and then he would come in there and, you know, Doug would come in there and he would show up. And, you know, he was one of those guys that I looked at and was like, wow, this guy is really putting in some work because he looks like he is making some things happen. And there was like another old cat named Howard. Guy looked kind of like a Viking, and he always ate like a banana before he worked out. But these three guys, or these four guys, more or less, were kind of like the foundation of what I would learn about working out in the gym. And not just working out, but training, like actively saying to yourself, this is how I'm going to develop my body, and there's going to be a system behind it. I'm not just going to come in here and move a lot of weight. It's going to be a purpose.
That's great. They were just kind of your mentors, right, helping you out?
Yeah, absolutely. And we all need that because you'll go to a gym. I'm pretty sure you understand that you'll go to a gym and you just see a bunch of young guys and they're just doing the absolute most, you know. Right. It's like no choreography to what they're doing. It's just like every day is like International Chess Day for them, you know.
Yep.
I was never like that. And fortunately, I had these guys and I had the magazines and I kind of taught myself from a young age, this is how, if you're going to get better, this is how you have to do it. You just can't go in there. Just be all about weights. You got to have a system behind it.
Did they teach you all about nutrition also, or did they just work on all the bodybuilding with you?
They pretty much just did the whole bodybuilding thing with me. It was nothing really, they didn't really offer a lot of nutrition advice. Vinny, the guy who owned the gym, now he was a former bodybuilder, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like pictures of him on the wall and everything. So again, this is a guy who, you know, he lived the life. And every time I saw him, he was just eating eggs, you know. So of course I'm thinking, okay, where Vinny's right here is sucking down eggs. Let me go home and do the same thing. See how that works. It didn't. Because again, it's just, you know, you got to do more to eat eggs, right?
Yep.
The foundation of what I would transition into like 4 or 5 years later. It started there. So I had the basics of it, but it was like at the time, you know, I'm living home with my mother and my father because I'm a teenager, right? You know,
right.
I don't really have a whole lot of disposable income, and the income that I do, my parents are not necessarily against me loving this bodybuilding thing, but they're not necessarily supporting it either. They're, you know, I grew up in a religious household. So everything was about religion. Going to your meetings, preparing for your meetings, studying for your meetings, going to school. It was like my life was really, I was a creature of, what would they say, like a habitual creature.
Right. Yeah. Like a routine.
Absolutely. Every day, every week. But the bodybuilding thing wasn't necessarily fostered. It was just like, well, you know, for my parents, it was like, well, you can do it kind of in your spare time, but don't spend too much time on it because it's not what we do. You know what I mean? So that's what that was. But what little bit I had, I tried to make the best of it as a teenager.
How long until, you know, you decided you wanted to compete?
Okay. So when I moved away from my parents, I moved to like the Washington, D.C. area when I was like 20. I joined a gym not too long after I got into town, because at that point, like, for me, that's when I really say, that's kind of like my bodybuilding journey really started, is when I moved to Washington, D.C., you know, because I was on my own. I was calling my own shots. I didn't have my parents telling me what I could or what I couldn't do. So I took the little bit of knowledge that I had, and I kept accumulating more knowledge just by, again, looking at the magazines. And of course, at this time, now the internet is starting to come into play. So now you can use the internet to look up things. So now I'm really starting to understand a lot more about nutrition. Starting to understand about nutrition. I'm understanding, starting to really put things together about having a training cycle.
Were you also a trainer then too?
I was not a trainer then. I didn't become a trainer until like 8 years later.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So at this time, I'm only like, to give you a timeline of where I'm like 20 years old. You know, I started competing like 2 years later, when I was like 20, 22 or 23, around that age. That was like in 2002. 2001, I went to a bodybuilding competition, a local show called the NPC Body Rock. Now, the Body Rock was like the biggest. Was like the biggest show in the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, everybody did the Body Rock, because most of the people who did the Body Rock, they were going to like national level competition, and then depending how good they were at that point, they were turned professional.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, NPC, so that's National Physique
Committee.
Right? Yeah, committee. That's the one that I competed in as well. Yeah. So when you did that competition, did you have to get drug tested?
That show was not drug tested. The Body Rock was never tested. The majority of the shows in the DMV are not drug tested. I mean, now in 2018, you have shows that are, you know, even on the NPC level, they're like natural shows, but you know, real natural shows are like, I guess like the OCB and, USBF sanctions like that. But I've never done, I did like one USBF show, didn't like it. Stuck with the NPC. And the reason why is this. I've always seen NPC as the top for competition. If you want to see how good you really are, compete in the NPC. You know, that's nothing, that's no knock on OCB, USBF, or any of these, you know, NGA. It's no knock on them. I'm just saying that when you compete at the level on the NPC, you have to assume that the majority of the competitors are going to be on some type of performance enhancing, you know, drug. And they're going to be really seriously competitive. Some of these people, they're trying to become professionals. So they're doing whatever it takes in order to get to that next level. Now, if you can go in there as a natural competitor and do well, then that means that you have, you know, a pretty bright future. So 2002 was my first year competing. Didn't do great. I wasn't the worst guy, but I think it was maybe... was like 17 guys in my weight class. I was a middleweight at the time, and I overdieted, and I went in there looking like a string bean. Yeah, it wasn't a good look. It wasn't, like I said, I wasn't the worst looking guy, because out of the 17 competitors, I think I ended up in 12th place. So
yeah, I feel like I hear that story a lot with first time competitors. It's like their first show is always like, oh, I was flat, I was thin, I was bloated. Right. There's always something.
rookie mistakes, right?
Right.
So I did that whole thing, but then I did a show like 2 months later, bounced back. I was a lot better. I kind of figured some things out, and I went into that show and I got third in my weight class. So then I was like, okay, cool. There may be something to this if I can just, you know, get it down right. 2003 comes around. This is my, you know, I do the Body Rock again. Still, you know, huge show. I do better than I did the year before. And what was cool, because my mother, my father came out, my grandfather, my grandmother, they all came out to see me. So that was pretty nice.
That's cool.
You know, because nice once again, they didn't, you know, like I said, my mom and my dad, they never really supported my bodybuilding. And even as I was coming up, they kind of just never really paid much attention to it. You know what I mean? So, having them there was pretty cool. I moved up a couple of places, but I was still out of the top 10. So
That's good. What did your family think when they came to see you? Did they have a different respect for it afterwards?
They were pretty excited about it, especially my dad, you know, because my father grew up, you know, he was athletic. His thing was basketball because my father, he comes from a, you know, his side of the family, everybody's either a boxer or football player or basketball player because they're all like tall people, you know. My dad is like the shortest out of all of his brothers. My dad is like 6'4", but, you know, everybody else is like 6'6" and up. So
crazy.
Right. But he was happy, you know, he didn't necessarily like say he was proud, but you could tell, you know.
That
was like the language that he and I had. I knew he was happy that he got to see me do something that I really enjoyed doing, it because you gotta remember, like, my father had seen me at this point. I've been loving this thing for like 7-8 years now, and as much as I talked about it, he's never really seen me do it before, you know. Now he gets to see me and he sees that I'm really, you know, obviously happy about it, and it was cool, you know, to have them there to see, for them to see that.
Yeah, it's great, because I remember going to my first competition, and even already kind of like being in like the health and wellness world, it's an experience, you know, to see everybody walking around like super cut and
right,
bulging muscles and spray tan. You're kind of like, where am I right now?
It's like, I mean, you talk about it now, I mean, that's like the cool thing, you know, when you go to a competition, it has its own energy. It has its own smell. You know what I mean? It's just like, nothing smells like a fitness or bodybuilding competition. It has its own just aura about it, you know?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So I enjoy it.
How many competitions do you have under your belt now?
Let me see. Like 7 or 8.
Cool.
Yeah.
And better every time, or has it varied?
Better every time. 2004 was like, 2004 is when I really began to, I guess, realize, I was like, yo, I can probably do this pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I did a Muscle Mania show and I got second place in my weight class. It was a controversial decision. The guy, the head judge was just like, I don't understand, you know, how you did. That was the first time when I was at, you know, more or less the center of a controversial decision in a show, because everyone else, including the head judge, was just like, I don't understand why you didn't win. I don't, you know, but that's when you also begin to understand that this whole industry is subjective. It's based on odds. It's not going to always be in your favor. And you have to just be able to say, okay, cool, I'll take an L on that one and just start working on the next one.
Right. And there is a little bit of politics in there too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's like anything else. Is if you know some people and if you've been at it for a while, is chances are, you know,
you'll get up there.
Yeah.
And it's true. Yeah, absolutely. So over the years too, how much has like your regimen changed, and, you know, what are your workouts like, what's your nutrition like, supplements, all of that? I know a little bit when we were texting before, did you ever come across any of like the illegal drugs, the steroids?
Yeah, that is, that's a big part of what we do. You know, it's a big part of the game.
Right.
And I've always told people, I've been on both sides. You know, I've trained for shows naturally, or as naturally as possible, because I'm not this kind of person that's like, well, I've trained for a show and I didn't take anything. You know, is the difference is, do you take something that you can buy off bodybuilding.com that's designed to give you maximum results, or do you go all the way and say, I'm gonna do this other thing too, see how that works, you know? I've been on both sides, and I've always been honest about it, because, you know, what people have to understand is that when you're trying to be the best at what you're trying to do, then you're going to seek the avenues that will allow you to do that. That's just how this industry is set up. But it comes with a cost depending on how it's done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not smart about it, you can really do some damage to yourself mentally, physically, emotionally. I mean, I've seen guys that have used performance enhancing drugs that are a shell of themselves today, you know, because they just didn't know how to stop, and it became a psychological issue for them. Like, they were never big enough, they were never lean enough. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it becomes dangerous, because you have to have the mental discipline to just be able to say, well, how about look is how I look. This is what God gave me. Let me work with everything
I've got.
Exactly.
Right. Did you ever struggle with any of it?
No, I didn't. And I'm happy about that. I was never that guy that was like, oh my God, I'm not juicing anymore, so all my games are going to be lost, and then I'm just going to go walk around and feel sorry for myself. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've never personally understood that, because it's like, look, this is, you have to look at yourself as a professional, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in athletics is not always going to, you can't be on, when I say on, I mean anything. You can't be on any supplement all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not healthy. You have to come off of it and say, well, look, let me just rely on what God gave me, and we'll work with that. Let the chips fall where they may.
Right. So is that where you're at now? It's just kind of like clean diet, and I'm sure supplements in there too, right?
Yeah. None of the other stuff though. The last two shows I did last year, I trained for naturally. And I was able to present a pretty good physique. I was able to present a physique that was incredibly competitive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like I tell people, I don't care what you take, man. If you don't have the good genetics, if you don't have the nutrition, if you don't have the fundamentals of what it takes to be a champion, then you're not going to be one. I don't care what you take.
Yeah, it is so difficult.
Yeah,
it's not an easy industry. Like, people don't understand the huge amounts of discipline behind it, from everything, just from, you know, being social. I always get around, I'm like, oh, I'll do another show and I'll be in hermit status for a while. Like, I'll be home prepping my food, eating my meals, and getting my sleep. You know?
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite part about the entire process?
The training. The training is a fun part. The competing is a hard part. And I tell people, and I say that because when you work tirelessly for months at a time to get on stage for maybe 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, you go through all of this work, you suffer. And mm-hmm. you figure, man, I do all of this stuff and I may not even get my 15 minutes. You know, I may be up there for like a second. I may get sent off stage and no one else will see me again.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that over and over and over again. So you figure 16, depending on, you know, how you're doing it, 12 to 16 weeks of training for a show to only get seen for maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part. You know what I mean? Because you feel like, yeah, I've done all of this work, and you mean to tell me that you're only going to look at me for 5 minutes and send me off stage, and that's just going to be the end of it? Now, that's tough.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, that's the tough part. The training and all of that, like, that's the cool part. Sometimes, you know, eating, it's tough too, because, you know, when you're training for a show, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, like, I have to eat more the closer it gets to the show, because I have such a fast metabolism. And, you know, when you throw in cardiovascular activity, and the restriction of certain macronutrients, and you have to increase certain other things, it's just like, now I got to eat more. I have to eat like 7 to 8 times a day just to stay, not even to gain. At this point, I'm just maintaining what I've done. And the growth, you know what I mean? Before I get to the show.
Yeah.
That can be tough.
Are you in a good groove now? Like, how long did it take you to really figure out how to supplement your body?
Let me see. I think a lot of that's it's instinctive. Because I've had some, you know, periods of time where it was just like, I'm just going to eat kind of like whatever. I'm going to eat when I'm hungry, and that's going to be it. In all honesty, that's kind of what I'm doing now, because I've been out of the gym for a few weeks, kind of just like taking some time off.
Right, which is important.
Right. You got to have that. You got to let your body heal. You got to let your mind heal. But when I'm back in the gym, then I'm usually eating 6-7 times a day. Food, the whatever protein powders I'm taking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how I keep it. And that kind of stuff, again, it's not something, like, I can't say that, I really figured it out 2 years ago. It's one of those things you figure it out as you go along, because your body changes all the time.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So what worked for me in 2017 is a good chance it's probably not going to work for me in 2018. Even though you can look at it and say, if it's not broke, then don't fix it. Well, in a lot of cases, like, you got to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fix it.
Yeah, it's true. I've been training a lot harder lately and doing a lot of different things. And I started putting on weight. And I'm like, what am I doing? So I just, basically what I was doing was I was not paying attention to my nutrition, because I naturally eat fairly healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started putting it down and I was like, well, there it is right in front of me. I'm not eating enough. For everything that I'm doing, my body's just like, hang on a second. We need to hold on to what you're eating, because you're not fueling us enough for, you know, I wasn't fueling enough for all the working out that I was doing.
Right.
So you have to definitely be mindful of that and pay attention to it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing that you say that, because, you know, when you tell people that, is they look at you like,
You're crazy.
Like you're crazy. You know, especially if you're talking to a young lady and she doesn't understand the fundamentals of, you know, the first thing they think, well, I'm going to gain a bunch of weight. It's just like, no, this is what you have to do in order to lose weight. Mm-hmm. It's funny. You got to eat more, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not so much what you eat.
Then you gotta follow that up with, and it all depends on what you eat. I was actually just talking with my nutritionist yesterday, and we were kind of having the same discussion, and she's like, yeah, it's, listen, you can go ahead and eat 1500 calories worth of Reese's Pieces, and you can also go ahead and eat 1500 calories of veggies and meat, and that is going to do two very different things to your body.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know,
that's the truth.
Yeah.
So that's what it's all about for me. Everything has been instinctive. I've never been one of these guys like I don't write stuff down, even though I should. And my fiance is like always telling me, you should write it down. Because, you know, that's what she does. And I'm just like, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. It's like I kind of really just, you know, I'm old school when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't really jot anything down. I don't keep up. I don't keep track of my weight. I don't keep track of, like, what I'm doing in the gym. It's just like, when I have a good day, I know I have a good day. When I have a not so good day, I know that too. And then I just focus on making sure that my not so good days are not frequent. You know what I mean? I just try to, you know, like if I feel like I'm running flat, then I just eat more.
Right.
I try to get more rest. I try to eat more protein, you know, the night before I train. It's just like something simple like that. And I don't feel like looking at a piece of paper from what I did yesterday is going to really help me with that. I just think that when you've been doing it for this long, you kind of just understand your body, and, you know, you begin to understand how you best function. You know what I mean?
You have body awareness.
Right.
Absolutely. Like a good connection with how your body's going to respond to everything.
Yeah, it's not always easy, but it works for me, and it's honestly been one of my keys, because I think sometimes people obsess over things,
mm-hmm.
and I think obsession is good in its place. I think it has to be in a controlled setting, but you have some people that will obsess over every little, you know, detail. It's like, oh my God. And it's just like, yo, this is exhausting. Can you just try to do it this way and see how it works for you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's no right or wrong way to do it, but it's just, sometimes I feel like it's like better ways
to get the to best, you know, to get the best out of yourself, you know?
Yeah, like have a healthy obsession or a realistic obsession with how
Absolutely.
How things are going to pan out.
Yeah, like, I like that.
Yeah, like you ate a cookie last night. Okay, fine. Like, don't go on the treadmill for an hour because of it. Just keep going forward, right? Don't punish
yourself. Right. Yeah, because it's not that serious. It's only fitness, you know? And I hate to make light of it and to that degree, but it's just like, you get another day to become better. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to take everything and just, you know, compress it into one action at that particular time, you know.
Right.
You got your whole life. This is supposed to be a lifelong journey. So you have all of this time to right any wrongs that you may have encountered. That's what I tell my girls all the time. It's like, you know, think about your life. Think about the totality of your life. If you live to be 80 or 90 years old, the little time that you spend making mistakes, it's very little bit of time.
Right.
You know, don't get caught up on that little bit of time. Focus on, okay, next year I'll be better at this. The year after that, I'll be better at this. And all of those years, you know, accumulate to you just being better at what you do. But don't try to just take everything and try to fix it then. Like, it's not good. I don't think it's mentally good for anybody to try to do that.
You know? Yeah, I agree. So, really good way to put it. I always say too, when I'm working with my clients, if they have a bad day or a bad meal or something, it's like, listen, it's fine. That's cool. Now just keep going. And then when you mess up again, it's fine. Just keep going. Because then you'll also start to see that those tiny little mistakes end up being further and further apart.
Absolutely.
Right? They still happen. They never go away. But you just train yourself to know how to get back on track and be okay with that and not beat yourself up and get worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
People will do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think when people have a tendency to do that, they end up, you know, they lose focus of what the real goal is, which is to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
This has to become a lifestyle. It can't be a band-aid on a, you know, it can't be a band-aid on an open wound. You know what I mean? It's something that you have to look at. You're going to be doing this for a very long time.
Right.
You know, so like you said, just got to go forward. You out there, you know, getting your double cheeseburgers on or whatever, that's cool. But just think about the next day. You say, okay, cool. I had that tonight, tomorrow. I'm going to do this thing. But you got to keep going forward. You just can't be stuck there thinking, you know, oh my God, I had a double cheeseburger. All my shit. You know, it's just like, it's just too much.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I know. And so many people get stuck in that downward spiral. It's like, well, fuck it then. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have French fries. I'm going to have ice cream. And the next day they wake up and they just keep eating like crap. And then 2 months down the road, you know, they come crying back like, oh my God, I messed up.
Yeah.
Which is still okay, right? That's still okay. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you said, you got to move forward. Even at that point, you can just be like, let me bring the reins in and just get myself back together. No problem. Easy exactly. fix, man.
Right. Exactly. Are you still working with clients?
I am not. I gave that up, I think 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was working with the wealth client. And after that, I was just like, this is my thing, Courtney. I was never passionate about personal training.
Okay.
I was always cool. And I still am cool with just helping people. Like that's my gift, you know,
right.
People come to me at this point because, again, this is not me tooting my own horn, but I've been doing this for a long time. I've seen it all, you right. know. I've seen the good. I've seen the bad. I've done the good. I've done the bad. I have, you know, been a fan. I mean, I love this lifestyle. I love this industry. So it's just like, whatever it is, if you're new to this,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to, you know, get some footing under your ground, if you ask me something, you're going to get you a good answer. You're going to get exactly what you need to know in order to make progress. I'm not going to sit up here and blow smoke up your behind and tell you on a whole bunch of stuff that's not real. I'm going to give it to you 100%. And then you can take that to the bank. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it. When you come across someone, what kind of advice would you give them when they're looking to, you know, get into bodybuilding or compete? Do you have like any number one advice for
Well, what I try to do is I try to ask people questions about, you know, first thing I ask them is kind of like what you asked me, like what got you into it, mm-hmm. you know. When you determine why people are doing something, that lets you, that you can kind of determine how far they're willing to go in order to be successful at that thing, you mm-hmm. know. People, again, I love bodybuilding. You understand? Like, I love it.
Yeah.
sleep. Drink it. I mean, even if I'm not actively competing, like, I still keep up with everything that's going on with the industry because I just love it that much. So for me, for what comes natural or easy to me because I love it, is hard for some other people, you know, because you have, now you have to make it, you have to make it a part of your life. You have to become a student. You know what I mean? It's like, if you want to be a doctor, you can't just wake up one day and be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to go and start operating on somebody.
Right.
You know, where's your experience? Where's your passion? Did you at any point in time that you say, well, yeah, you know, what made me want to be a doctor was because I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to give people, I wanted to help people. I wanted to take somebody that was mangled up and I wanted to mend them.
Right.
You know? And I've always, as a kid, I was a kid that walked around with the fake stethoscope, whatever that thing is. I can't pronounce it. They walk around that thing and they tell people, I want to be a doctor when I grow up, you know? So if you're not passionate about something, then more than likely the answers I give you, you're not going to like.
Yeah.
You're not going to like them at all, because it's like, this is the reality of the situation is, this is what you're going to have to do. If you're really serious about this, this is what you're going to have to do. Now, if you don't want to do this, then you don't want to compete.
Right. Yeah, you have to give it to them straight. It's real difficult. And people have a real hard time understanding that, too.
Right.
You know, like, I still struggle with that now, and I'm not even really looking to compete. But I do know, you know, there's those nights where I can't go out to dinner. I've already, you know, hit all my macros for the day. I'm doing good. I'm working out hard. And if I go out to dinner, I mean, I know myself. I don't have 100% discipline. I'm going to end up eating something that's delicious or having a glass of wine. And then here I am out later, not getting enough sleep and waking up tomorrow like, ugh, you know, and trying to, you know, tell your friends and family like, no, I'm not going out tonight. And they're like, why? Like, that's difficult. It's hard for them to understand. And it's because, just like you, I love it. Like, I love feeling this way. This is my goals. It's the way that I want to live my life. So that's solid advice to say, you know, find out what their why is and then be like, okay, well then here's the reality. And if your why is still the same and you think you can do all that, then let's do this.
Right. Cool. Cause you'd be surprised how many people you'll talk to and, you know, you find out that it's some bullshit, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, there's no purpose behind it. It's like, I just want to get on stage. And this is the thing too. When you deal with that person and you see the results of what they do, now you understand what are not good, you know, yeah. Because you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're doing it because, like, I hate when people, and maybe it shouldn't bother me, but I hate when people say, well, I just want to try it.
Yeah.
What the fuck for? Because if you really want to do this, don't just try this shit. Just really, really do it. You know what I mean? Like, go balls to the wall. Hard on doing this. Be the absolute best you can be. And then after that, if you still don't do as well as you want to, you can still look at it and say, okay, well, cool. Let me go back. The average person mm-hmm. that really wants to do it would say, let me just go back to the drawing board, change some things around and see what I can do to be better.
Right.
You know, I've seen people, Courtney, that have a young lady that I knew fell off the face of the earth. She didn't do too well on her show. And she just, nobody heard. She never talked about it. She was so excited going into it, mm-hmm. you know. And looking at her, it's like, okay, yeah, you know, the naked eye, you look pretty good. You look like you would do really well on the show. I guess you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, almost like she just gave up.
You know?
And just disappeared. So the thing is, then it becomes, okay, did you really love it, or was it something that you was just trying?
Right. Was your heart really in it, or?
Yeah. You know, and I understand, you know, hey, there's nothing, don't get me wrong. Do not, anyone listening, do not get me wrong. I have no problem with you saying, that you want to try something, because that's what life is about. You should try it. If you've never done it before and it's an experience for you, by all means, try it. Right. You know, but understand that at the end of the day, this people take this shit seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for some people, it's really their life. Yep. They can't function without this. You know what I mean? Because everyone has a story. You never know. You could be talking to a guy, and bodybuilding or fitness is the reason why he's still alive today, based on the fact that, shoot, he could have been doing some crazy shit in the street, that and bodybuilding or fitness took him off the street, so now he doesn't have to worry about watching his back and possibly getting his head freaking blown off his shoulders because of some shit he's doing in the streets, you know? So this guy's going to be doing it for a totally different reason than some a-hole that's going to be like, yeah, man, I want to get chicks.
Yeah.
And like, like, what the fuck, man? That's your motivation is broads, like getting women, like, that's stupid, man. Like, come on, dude. Like, don't do that, you know? Just be, you can get a woman, just be yourself, dude. I mean, just don't be superficial.
Yeah, find the confidence. That doesn't mean you have to look ripped on stage.
Thank you.
Right?
Don't be that, here, man. Come on.
It's a million times more attractive, that's for sure.
Right.
I think most women would agree to that. In the last 5 years, I always love asking this question, and I actually stole it from Tim Ferriss. He did that book called Tribe of Mentors, and it's one of his questions. It's, in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life or your business?
New belief.
Yeah. Yeah, or behavior.
Thank you. I'll tell you what. Okay, I can tell you offhand that being involved with a woman, let me see. Okay, so my fiance has 3 girls,
mm-hmm.
You know. Now, that has changed my entire life.
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? As you can imagine. Because I go from being a guy who is, I'm doing me. You know what I mean? I'm single. You know, I'm dating. I'm in a relationship every now and then, but, you know, I'm not really committed to I'm not committed to a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of just doing me. Now, when I say doing me, like, I don't mean like getting around town, being a hoe, because that's not my life. That's not what I do. But just living my life without responsibilities, having to care about a girlfriend and children, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, when I met Princess, mm-hmm. She has 3 daughters, you know. They are now 12, 9, and 6. They changed my life, you know, because I had to go from, and it took a little time. It took several months for me to get out of thinking, even though, like, I consider myself to be an incredible family man, because I've always loved children and loved, you know, family, because that's how I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Until you actually get involved with someone who has 3 children, or, you know, 3 girls especially, you know, it's a lot tougher, you know, because now you have to really start thinking about it. I mean, there was times when I would think about something. It's okay. I would think about something, and I'm just like, you know, I'm not, you know, sometimes she would have to tell me, you're not thinking like you have a family. And I would have to sit there and be like, wow, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, I've got to get out of that single man's mentality. When you have 3 girls and you're trying to raise them to, you know, be disciplined and to have structure in their life, those things change how you are as a man, you know.
Yeah.
They make more of a man of you, to be honest with you. Because you have your whole life changes. And it doesn't change for, in this case, it hasn't changed for the worse, it's changed for the better, because now I know what it's like to be loved by, you know, children that I'm raising as my own, and I love them, they love me, and it's brought out, you know, it's brought out the best in me. It's helped me to look at everything with completion, you know, even more so than before I met her and the girls were a part of my life. It's even more so now, because now they're watching me.
They're always watching, always listening, right? Always picking up on all your little idiosyncrasies that you might not even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I remember kind of watching through your Instagram story when you guys started getting together. It's been a couple years now, right?
Yeah, it's been 2 years.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. And congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you. Yeah, we're, you know, our life is, you know, we're pretty tied up into each other. And I mean, that's the cool aspect about our relationship as well, because now I'm trying to, you know, she wants to compete. I've inspired her to compete. And I always thought that Princess had potential to compete and to do very well, you know. She's incredibly, incredibly gifted. And she has, pretty good as well. So, I'm trying to school her a bit.
That's good. So she is going to show, she's going to compete, you think?
Yeah, she's definitely going to compete. We wanted to see if we could get her on stage this year, but it probably won't be maybe until next spring, because, you know, we just moved. We're trying to get settled into our, you know, into our new home, into our new environment. And, you know, we haven't even joined the gym yet. We're kind of just like living day by day and just, you know, we're still trying to unbox boxes.
Yeah, you know? That's a lot.
We did take a tour of a gym that we're probably going to end up going to, like a Ghost that's not too far from where we live. So we're probably going to end up there. And more than likely was resume training either the end of this month or probably early next month.
Cool. That's exciting. That's exciting for her too.
Yeah. Very exciting. I believe in her.
Good. I think
she'll do an incredible job. And, like I'm no expert nutritionist or trainer. So what happened is that, you know, the closer it gets to whatever show that we decided she's going to do, I will more than likely pick up somebody that I trust, and that I know that can help her become the best as she can be, you know.
Cool. And the girls, are they excited too? Do they know about it?
They don't know. This is my thing with them. I never wanted my girls to, like, I'm just now putting up trophies and stuff in the house, you know, because that kind of stuff is, to me, it doesn't, I mean, it means something, but not really, you know. Right. It symbolizes what, I get that, and I think that's why Princess wanted to put them up. But what I'm always trying to tell her is that, you know, we work hard now. Let the work be what the girls see, you know. Let them see the discipline that goes in, and you know, the discipline that's involved and the changes that you'll make. Because right now, everything is going to be a burden, you know.
Right.
But they see what you're doing. My whole thing has always been about show them something that they can use as they get older. Oh, my mom did this, but this is how she did it. Like, that's what I want them to pick from that. I don't want them to necessarily say, my mom, she did all this work, and at the end of the day, she got a trophy. You know, but what does the trophy mean? You know, what does the work mean? Yeah, so that's what's important for me to them, you know. You know, like after I competed, when I did the two shows last year, it was just like they were happy, but they weren't excited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can't necessarily grasp like what's involved in it. It's like they see pictures of me and it's like, oh, it's cool, you know. Like, when I came home, I really didn't say a whole lot about it. It was just like, oh, you know, they were like, well, how did you do? Well, I got second place, and I got second place, and it was all cool.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I want them, but out of all of that, what they see the most is, okay, Marcus goes to the gym like every day. He works, he comes home, he eats every day. Like, they see this thing that I do every day. That's what they hold on to.
Yeah, but they don't quite get it yet.
Yeah. So, again, for me, like, what I want them to understand what's most important is the work. You know, the work is what's most important. The accolades and the trophies and the pats on the back, that stuff is cool, but like the work is what you got to focus on.
Yeah, you know? It is. So. Last question here. We can start kind of wrap it up. What's next for you? Like, do you have an end goal, or is this just going to be an ongoing thing? Like, is there kind of, I don't know, is there something out there in the future that you're like, this is what's next?
I decided that I'm probably going to try to go professional.
Awesome.
Yeah. So like last year I heard, okay, real quick. I never really, when I competed in bodybuilding, it was like, you know, I'm just going to do it because it's fun. I love it, you know, but I never really had necessarily aspirations of turning professional because I know how much work, I know how much goes into competing at that level, you know. When I transitioned into the classic physique division and I saw that I could be really competitive in that division, that's when I was like, okay, well, I could probably turn pro in the classic physique division because that's what everyone's telling me, you know. That's what I heard the most. Everybody's like, yo, you should, you know, are they either ask me, was I going pro or are you, you know, you should become pro because like you have the tools to do it. And then I was like, man, shoot, well, let me go ahead and make that a goal. So 2018, that's my goal, is to, you know, go for a pro card.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. 2019 is my goal, is to turn pro in the classic physique division. I'll be 40 at that time, you know, but hey, I feel great. I'm just going to keep going.
Awesome. That's good. I can't wait to watch and kind of see like the process or whatever you put out there.
Thank you.
So what kind of support can we offer like for all the listeners and everything, like to give shout outs? How can they follow you?
Follow me on Facebook //
I think it's forward. I don't know.
Bodybuilder Marcus, which is BODYBLDRMARCUS. You can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter as well, using the same names, / bodybuilder Marcus. And that's pretty much it. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not one of these guys. Like, I'm not looking for, you know, I don't call people fans. I say supporters. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I like supporting others. I like being supported. And that's the kind of thing I want to keep doing. So everybody, if you're listening, if you want to follow me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, find me. I'm on there.
Cool. Yeah, anyone that's listening, definitely check them out. Your photos are awesome, especially the ones from the last show. Your physique, you look phenomenal.
Thank you.
This has been so great. Again, I'm so happy. Thank you so much for doing this little interview. You know, getting some knowledge out there. I think it's really cool that we kind of have the same mindset too. It's refreshing to hear, you know, the straightforward of, you know, this is what bodybuilding is, and you know, it's a discipline and it's a passion.
Right.
So thanks for that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on and allowing me to share my story and, you know, just being able to let people know that when you've been at it for as long as I have, then you got a lot of stories, you got a lot of, you know, information. And I love to share anything I can with anyone who's trying to come up, you know.
Yeah.
So anybody out there who's seeking something, holler at me. Let me know what's on your mind.
There you go. You guys heard it there. So cool. Thanks again. We'll sign off here, and I hope to talk to you soon, and we'll catch up in the future when you're kicking ass again on stage.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Courtney.
All right. Have a nice day.
You the same. Bye-bye.
Bye.